the amount of baggage I had to acknowledge from growing up in a racist society, let alone the damage it had caused others, was sobering. But every new honest realization left me feeling spiritually lighter. In a less compassionate and committed group, it might have been impossible. These things were so deep. As it was, I lost a lot of emotional weight during those 2 months. Best diet ever. And I gained deep friendships into the bargain. So, what now? I'm still learning, still connected to learning at UU, and grateful for our fellowship that refuses to be discouraged, even in the times when progress slows. And I'm grateful for the reconciliation and repair we shoot for, even when, even among Unitarians, the roots of racism emerge. That really matters to me. So here's to our radical experiment. Radical love and fierce hope. May it infect us all. Now, sidebar, Robin Sales and I are starting a Surge group in the wider community. Surge is an acronym for Showing Up for Racial Justice. It's a national organization with local chapters, and this will be one. It's secularly based, it's anti-racist, and it's a white ally group. Like the other chapters, we'll hold educational meetings, build leadership, and support community allies of color to counter racism. The fellowship is kindly allowing the meetings to take place here, and the first one will be on August 20th from 7 to 9 p.m. We'd be delighted to see any of you here. Thank you.
Our second speaker is Ann Clarkin.
Hello again. I was very excited to be invited to facilitate Beloved Conversations. I'm not an expert on race relations. I have no formal training in teaching about racism, but I had been in an interracial marriage for 20 years and have 3 biracial children, so I figured I had enough life experience to draw on. Undoing racism has been a great passion for me, as it is for a lot of you. 2 years and 2 Beloved Conversation groups later, I have been challenged over and over to rethink everything I believed I knew about race and racism, beginning with the belief that racism is basically about hate and is something evil that intolerant people do to people of color, like police harassment, police murdering black men, our racist president wanting to build a wall. Something I would never do. Something that good people like us have been fighting against for years. Something that should be getting better, but somehow seems to be getting worse. Something we should fix here and now in our fellowship by bringing in more diversity, by getting involved in more social justice work. I still believe, of course, that these are very important things that we should be doing. It has been painful to learn, though, that it is not that straightforward. It is not that simple. That the reasons that our efforts to end racism are not working are very complicated. It has been heartbreaking to learn how deeply racism is embedded in our culture. Still, how racism is perpetuated throughout our society, in our schools, neighborhoods, and workplaces, in politics, and also in each person's beliefs, attitudes, and thoughts. Still, how we live every day in a culture of white privilege and white superiority, and we do not realize the extent of it. How we have all been socialized by a white dominant culture. How we've internalized that culture. How we all, as white people, participate in racist culture when we don't want to, and we're trying really hard to do the opposite. It's very hard for us to see that. It has been really uncomfortable for me to see that, to recognize my own unhelpful beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes, and my defensiveness about my well-intentioned mistakes. It has not been easy to wake up white, as the author Debbie Irving says. I am grateful and humbled by this opportunity to wake up, especially when I already considered myself woke. So I have been reading books, watching films, and listening. In Beloved Conversations, I have been so fortunate to be able to listen to all of you, to hear your thoughts, your feelings, listen to your experiences, and your insights. As I said before, I'm not teaching this class as an expert. I'm experiencing it with all of you. I'm learning from you. It's a shared journey. And I am very hopeful that we can make a difference. Thank you.
Our third speaker is Duane Kitty.
Good morning. I'm going to try to follow those two up. I would like to share my experience of Beloved Conversations in the hope that you may consider the next session also. First, thank you to Robin for your behind-the-scenes work at the retreat, the food, and the facilitators, Anne and Julia, and Reverend Megan for this opportunity. I will start with, what was it like to learning this material in the context of my faith community? This was a challenge. I'm rather new to this faith community, but now I feel as though I have 22 very good friends. We wrote together a covenant that allowed me to speak freely without judgment, try on new ideas and perspectives. And it was okay to be messy, and we were. We were all on a shared journey. The raw emotions and tenderness that was displayed during these sessions emboldened us to get out of our comfort zone and really learn the material and to search deeper. Our goal is to make our congregation and community to be more welcoming to persons of color by being allies. There is a lot of responsibility in being an ally. In fact, we went over Ally Bill of Responsibilities. Before I could even attempt to be an ally, I had to confront my own indifference and ignorance. I was raised Southern Baptist in the Charleston, South Carolina area. Africans and African Americans in the South were to be tolerated and to be kept separate. Thankfully, I have had a chance to learn that it was called the Civil War, and not the War of Northern Aggression. And the fight was to free slaves and not fighting for states' rights. Many of our conversations, role-playing, and discussions of firsthand accounts of unconscious bias, institutional racism, white privilege, and cultural norms had me at times angry and defensive and squirming in my seat. I wanted to defend myself and my dominant culture. I could not simply remove myself, so I chose to listen. We learned that we bring our own problems with any attempt to work with persons of colors. We presume that we have knowledge that we do not have, and we lack an authentic experience of persons of color. Listening and learning in this course has opened up some new understanding that I came away with, and I will share a few. The Black Lives Movement, it is not a threat to the white community, and does not say that their lives matter above anyone else's. This movement consists of a group of mothers that no longer want their sons to be needlessly slaughtered on American streets. They are justifiably angry, but certainly not domestic terrorists. Make America Great Again. When one shines a light on this slogan, it appears to be a not so thinly veiled attempt to promote white nationalism. Not a return to the belief that all persons have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A common mantra that I've heard, equality of opportunity, but not quality of outcome. This attempts to prove that the playing field is leveled and all who try hard enough will succeed. Persons of color are given neither equal opportunity or hope of an equal outcome. The Civil Rights Act fixed this, right? It has been reasonably proven that white women have actually benefited the most and not persons of colors. Moreover, I would ask you to think about some of the recent news stories that may add further credence to white cultural norms and bias against persons of color. Who could forget Barbecue Betty, Campground Carla, or Permit Patty? This is racism, and it happens all the time. I tell my kids that the police are there to help. Persons of color tell their sons and daughters to have their phones videoing any encounter that they have with police. I can talk back to a policeman, and it will be seen as protecting my constitutional rights, whereas a person of color would be considered resisting arrest. If I speak Spanish in public, I am bilingual and smart. If my daughter's Hispanic friend speaks Spanish to her mother in public, she must be an illegal and needs to be reported. In closing, I would urge you to consider participating in the next Beloved Conversations, not just to be a social warrior, but to be an ally and just maybe make America great for us all. Thank you.